businesses that are outdoors have been reopening in parts of the country, including restaurants with outdoor seating, garden stores, those that didn't close in the first place, and drive-in movie theaters. But what about their indoor counterparts? Can you imagine having a meal with a mask on? Derek Thompson has been looking at the research into how the virus spreads indoors. He's senior editor at The Atlantic. He joins us from Washington every Monday. So, Derek, welcome back.
Great to be here.
And you and everyone, they're looking at how to make, you know, indoor dining, for instance, safe. Now, tomorrow, we're going to speak with a researcher about the role of air conditioning in spreading a virus indoors, you know, how maybe the kind of air conditioner makes a difference, but also what might actually kill indoor viruses, what's being tried in other countries. But you've looked at other studies from the CDC that show how a virus spreads indoors. Start with research about a Korean call center. What were the findings there?
Yeah, this is a really extraordinary study from the Korea CDC. So basically, in early March, the Korea CDC learns that there are some sick individuals who work at a call center in downtown Seoul. They realize that these people work in the eighth floor of a 19-story mixed-use building. So there are hundreds of offices, hundreds of apartments, and they think, oh my God, the possibility of a mass outbreak at this place is extraordinary. But when they investigate, what they find is really interesting. About 100 patients in the entire building of about 1,000 test positive, but they're all on one floor. And more than that, they're all on one side of the floor in one densely packed phone bank. So what the CDC determined from this study was the fact that people got so much sicker on one side of the floor than the other suggests it's not just about shared elevator space or shared lobby space. It's about shared air, that if you're sitting in a tightly packed, unventilated space, huffing and puffing with a bunch of other people, you're breathing in this spray of toxic droplets that people are emitting when they're talking, and that is the main vector of transmissibility. And what this says more broadly about all of our indoor spaces is that what seems to be most dangerous are these spaces that are tightly packed, closed spaces where lots of people are going to be talking, and so they're going to be breathing in a lot of the same air. That seems to be the most dangerous place where you can see the transmission of COVID-19.
Let's say a bar. You know, many people are packing bars, but it sounds like they are saying that if you're in an elevator and nobody's talking and you're only in there for a couple of minutes, as opposed to people who are talking for a living because it's a call center and they're tightly packed together for a long time, that's a huge difference.
Yeah, from the public health experts that I've spoken to, I would say it's a spectrum of risk. You don't want to be in an elevator that suddenly breaks with four other people if one of those people has COVID-19. But loud speech in particular emits a spray of fluid droplets. Yeah. So people who are talking loudly, if you're in a call center, you are being paid to constantly talk. Another really good example, a really bad example, is someone actually who spent a lot of time acting and being in plays, is in music rehearsals. There's been other studies that have shown that there's been huge outbreaks in choral rehearsals when you get a bunch of people together that are singing into each other's faces. Once again, you're getting this spray of fluid droplets, and that is really dangerous too. So I think what the public health experts would say is think about this as a spectrum. If you're in a closed space with people that are wearing masks and not talking, that's definitely a lot safer than being in a similarly close place where there aren't masks, where people are talking constantly. But at the same time, you do, I think, in general, want to avoid being in a tightly closed, unventilated space with other people if one of them is sick.
And you mentioned the choir practice. There was that one in Washington State. 61 people attended. Later, there were 32 confirmed cases in that group, some very serious cases, and two deaths. So there's that, you know, example of how they not only were singing with what everything that is brought to that, they were together when they were doing that. You know, this is all reminding me, I was just reading that during the 1918 flu pandemic in Boston, there were fines for people who were called big talkers, you know, people who were just loud and emitted. So they had a sense back then that it was the amount of energy behind your speech as well. But what does that mean for, like, you know, sporting events?
Yeah, this is a really good question. I mean, you're already seeing in places like South Korea that are beginning very slowly to open up professional sports, that they're starting without fans. And that's because if you're a fan of your team and they hit a home run, or you're watching basketball and someone hits a three to win the game, you want to scream. But that very same instinct that is cherishable in normal circumstances suddenly becomes potentially toxic during an epidemic. And so I think, you know, I've spoken to healthy building experts thinking exactly about how we can get back to normalcy even before a vaccine in sports stadiums, but it simply requires not filling those stadiums to capacity. It requires queuing up lines so that people can constantly remain socially distanced even if they are wearing masks. You're not going to get back the same level of normality in a world where normal behavior is suddenly so dangerous.
Yeah, you're not going to go, yay.
Right, exactly.
Derek Thompson, senior editor at The Atlantic. Thanks as always.
Thank you.
So the takeaway there, we think, is beware big talkers. Here Now is a production of NPR and WBUR in association with the BBC World Service. I'm Robin Young.
I'm Tanya Mosley. This is Here and Now.